Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Paul talks to football players and tries to stay out of the way. It's the Pauly Pigskin Report.
Yeah, Pauly Pigskin Report.
Easy to stay out of the way yesterday. No chance of getting run over or jack stomped by a 6'6", 345-pound lineman because I was in the visiting radio booth. So there you go. And you know what? I'm going to start with my last visual, Doug, and that was looking down from the booth. And even though I was up at the press level, there's no one in the stadium. And you could still hear everything. And I hear somebody whooping it up, and I look down as I'm ignoring whatever Wolf was saying during the postgame show, and I take off my headsets, and it's the head coach. My last visual is Cliff Kingsbury jogging off the field with a honking huge smile on his face, whooping it up with all the players and the assistants, and it resonated with yours truly in particular because of the way things ended last year at the 49ers, and he was not in a good mood, and it was not a good post-game interview for yours truly. Let's just put it that way. So that certainly didn't help with matters, and it was very good just to see. And it reinforced the before and after of last year versus yesterday. And, you know, speaking of the coaching, I'm not sure we're giving enough credit to the coaches for keeping these guys focused because there were ample opportunities to be distracted from staying inside the locker room while the PA guy, in addition to everything else, the PA guy announces the team. They're not on the field. The national anthem plays. They're not on the field. The field itself looks like you're playing football in a smoke-filled pool hall. Doug's over there trying to shake guys down for money during college.
You don't have one, do you, Paul?
I mean, instead of sourdough Sam, I was waiting for the mascot to come out to be Smokey the Bear. You know, I was. You know it's bad when you flip on the local news, and it's not a weather forecast, but it's a smoke forecast.
Oh.
And instead of the five-day... You're a five-day guaranteed for... No, it was the expected five-day AQI, the air quality index they're trying to project. Realize, San Jose had closed all parks. They didn't want people outdoors. The restaurants had closed outdoor dining for a couple of days. They reopened them going into the... There were lists of unhealthy air cancellations. COVID testing outside where you drive up, canceled, just because it was outside. They had interviews... with wine country, with the vintners, about how the smoke's going to impact the grapes.
That's ironic, isn't it, Paul?
I mean,
you cancel COVID stuff
right
because of the smoke.
But the Niners did play 2 years ago after the Paradise Fire 2018 with the AQI in the 160s. So, and then, as I told Wolf yesterday, there were guys you run into, the players are like, what do you mean smoke? Like, they're so locked in, they had no idea.
And that was the best.
Can you describe the sky? We drove home from Mass yesterday, and I could barely see Estrella Mountain, which is like a mile and a half from the house. And I know it was from the California fires. For just us, how bad? Like, what was the sky like, Paul?
It was just gray soup. If you've ever been to Monterey Bay, or even just seen the Pebble Beach Pro-Am on TV. And there's the morning coastal air that comes in off Monterey Bay, Carmel, and so forth. And there's all the fog that hangs below the canopy of the cypress trees. That's what it was, except it was smoke.
Ugh.
You thought it was fog, but it wasn't. The California governor said that if you're near those wildfire zones, it's the equivalent to smoking 20 packs of cigarettes.
Oh, my goodness, Paul.
And then you had the empty stadium. You know, typically on a road game, the sideline feeds off all the haters. All the home fans who are ripping your team behind your bench, except now it's a library out there. And really, the pumped-in crowd noise wasn't very loud at all. Not nearly as loud as I thought it was going to be. So, as I said, it was BYOE, bring your own energy, because you couldn't feed off the crowd. There was none, and the pumped-in crowd noise. And then the way the game started is exactly the way the last game ended, was it not? With a running back torching a Cardinals linebacker on an angle route. And there's Raheem Mostert.
That was brutal, was it not?
And you're like, they lifted that off the end of last year's game. And sure enough, it worked because of what Kyle Shanahan does best. He messes with your eyes, and he got the rookie. He got Isaiah Simmons. And by the way, in talking with some folks, Isaiah Simmons, you know, he really has caught on to the plan very well. Now, Does he need the experience and the reps? Absolutely, based on yesterday. But they were starting him out in two positions, and it was inside and outside linebacker, and we saw both. But Wolf has reported during the game, we were also told, you know what, you're going to hear Hassan Reddick's name in this game. And sure enough, he ended up getting quite a few snaps, I think, at the expense of Isaiah Simmons, especially in that second half.
I was going to say, Paulie, I thought he actually got more snaps than Isaiah Simmons.
And by the way, in that second half, Jimmy G led one scoring drive. And again, they were 0 for on third down in the first half, 2 for 11 on third down for the game. And if you could have one attribute to your defense and one attribute to your team that they didn't have last year, play your best in the clutch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the numbers on those two go-ahead fourth-quarter touchdown drives where they gained 172 yards on 23 plays and they took over 10 minutes off the clock. And then you had Kyler, who was 7 of 9 passing for 80 yards, ran 5 times for 46 yards, a 22-yard scoring run. DeAndre Hopkins on those two fourth-quarter scoring drives, 5 catches for 76 yards. So if you can play your best when it matters most, and you can develop that one trait as a team to be clutch, because once again, everybody now, just because you're close on the scoreboard does not mean you're close to being a winning team in the NFL.
You know, I've said this for a long time. I really do believe the offense, Paulie, for the Arizona Cardinals is still going to be the strength of this football team going forward. They don't need the defense to be locked down. They don't need the defense to be elite. They don't need the defense to even be top 10. If the defense is just in the middle of the pack, average, I think, for the most part, they're going to win 9-10 games.
By the way, the Niners, as they struggled against that Cardinals defense, we were reminded of the fact that, remember, the Niners can get out of Jimmy G's contract at the end of this year with less than a $4 million cap hit.
Yes.
Tick-tock on that one. And, you know, because, and Dan Orlovsky said this morning on ESPN, what we've been talking about all offseason, if you're a defensive coordinator, who would you rather game plan against? Dan Orlovsky called Kyler this morning a top five quarterback in the NFL when it comes to QBs, D coordinators do not want to go against.
That's exactly what I've been talking about, Paulie. I've been the defensive coordinators. They saw what they don't want to see out of Kyler Murray yesterday. Brutal.
After the game, the only guy who got more slaps on the back than Kyler and D-Hop was Zeke Turner. Zeke Turner with a punt block, so he was chopping it up with the guys.
Changed
after the game,
Paulie.
You know? And, by the way, let's go into the locker room here. We're just going to blatantly rip this off, azcardinals.com, all access. Here's Cliff Kingsbury with the team in the postgame speech.
We faced adversity as big as you can face. Y'all kept going. All right, that's a hell of a job finding a way to win. We built something today. Because to come out, y'all felt how sloppy it was. Y'all felt how tired we are. Now we just get better and better. But couldn't be more proud of the effort and guys sticking together. I want to give a game ball to a new member of our team, had 14 catches, 152 yards.
See, now, normally, a guy will just come up and take the ball and, you know, kind of acknowledge and then go. But this time, DeAndre Hopkins took the ball and had a little bit of a speech.
Bro, from the moment I walked in this building, man, I felt something special about this team. I promise you. I know we got what it takes to get what we want, but it's one day at a time. Let's keep working.
And our last thought here, Paulie, props to the guy who ripped the football out of DeAndre Hopkins' hand at the end of the first half, Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, my gosh, what a play.
The football IQ to spot that ball and save the seconds necessary to get off the half-ending field goal that, hey, by the way, did it make a difference at the end when the Niners couldn't kick a game-winning field goal and had to try it and go for six?
Incredible.
I realize there's no way to project how does the rest of the game change without those 3 points. But how do you argue it's not the most significant play in the history of football when it's not a play? I mean, it's not a play. There's nothing there. There's no stat. There's nothing. That's not a play. And yet it probably is why they won.
You know, and I noticed this from up top more than ever, the biggest hindrance to the Cardinals' up-tempo offense are the officials.
Yes.
They can't get in position quick enough. They're you know, these are older guys, and they're not all that athletic, obviously. And like, you have to wait for the side judge and the back judge and everyone to get in position before you can snap the ball. And
that's,
I'm thinking internally, it's probably driving Cliff Kingsbury nuts.
It's a huge point, Paul. And I don't even blame the refs. I blame the league. And I totally mean that. The league made the stupid decision 3 or 4 years ago to move the umpire behind the line of scrimmage as opposed to exactly where he belongs behind the defensive line. line and behind the linebackers. And by doing that, he's now in the way to try to spot it, get through the center guard. It's like he's got to run through an A-gap in order to then get back in time, and you're not supposed to snap it until he's in position. If college football has figured it out, why can't you, NFL?
I'm not so sure the NFL wants to see up-tempo. Get on the ball, snap at every 10. I'm not so sure they want to see that.
That might be, you might be onto something there, because that's what they are avoiding by continually being stubborn and not admitting they were wrong to move the umpire.